Good evening, everyone tuned in to NLS Talks with Wilma Wilson IV. I'm Deborah Ansinger, founder of New Local Space in Kingston. And tonight, I'll be speaking with artist Wilma Wilson IV, who's been accepted for the 2013 Summer Art Residency at NLS, about his art practice, his residency project, and Kickstarter, the platform we're using to raise funds for his residency. Wilma is a visual artist who works in a variety of disciplines, namely sculpture, performance, and photography. He's a recent graduate of Howard University, where he received his BFA in sculpture and photography, and he's been recently accepted to University of Pennsylvania for an interdisciplinary MFA. Wilma has exhibited recently at Connor Smith Gallery in Washington, D.C., at Emerge Art Fair in D.C., at Volta, New York, and the Museum of Contemporary African Diaspora and Art in New York. His work looks at and explores transmutation of the personal being through ordinary everyday objects. Good night, Wilma. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Cool. We'll be taking questions to everybody who is tuned in. We'll be taking questions at NLS Kingston. That's NLS as in New Local Space. Kingston@gmail.com. Send them in during the program and we'll direct them to Wilma intermittently during the other questions.
Cool.
Wilma, first of all, I'm introducing the audience to an audience who potentially isn't aware of your work or doesn't know much about it, about the kind of stuff that you do. Can you talk about some of the driving themes behind your work?
Sure. I guess like you mentioned, I do mainly my work manifests itself in photography, performance, and sculpture. And on a really basic level, I'm kind of interested in objects that are around me every day and kind of define my everyday geography. And attempting to transform those objects into objects with different meaning or objects that have a different relationship to myself or to the people that they're around. So that also means that I'm interested in contexts and social context. I like thinking about the communities that I exist in and the communities that people exist in at large and how communities interact with one another and how they interact with individual people. I guess it also means I'm interested in people. And I'm also interested in meaning. Like I said earlier, kind of transforming the meaning of these objects into something different is a central focus of mine.
So you mentioned context. So what are some of the contexts that you've found yourself in or you've found yourself engaged with?
Sure. A lot of work, it starts from the experience of the individual that I understand most deeply, which is my own. So I end up examining the context that I exist in. That could be anything from, racial context and racial identities to, race, class, gender, the big three, right? And the way that a self or an individual can be constructed through those contexts, and I hope a lot of that. I guess I explore a lot of that on a really micro level in my work.
But even I get though that some even though you examine how an individual's identity can be constructed through those three contexts, I think that some of your work also looks at how an individual can transcend the identities that have been constructed through those contexts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That kind of goes back to my interest in meaning. It's I'm kind of the mindset that one way to culture jam, if you will, or to subvert those constructs is to place I guess identities or place contexts that are in direct opposition to one another together and try to bring those two opposing forces together. Usually when contradiction happens, complexity also happens, and people are complex, obviously, and I hope through that complexity and that contradiction, I can describe an experience that, like you said, kind of transcends a particularity or a localization to a specific, I guess, like a localized group.
Mm-hmm. What is your process like as your work builds and it comes into fruition, or how does your work materialize? And I already mentioned briefly the media and the disciplines that you work for, but can you talk to us about some of the most recent projects? What discipline you would say they fall into, and again, what the process is like when the work builds?
Sure. So you want me to describe some of the recent projects that I've done in addition to talking about my process? Okay. I guess it's kind of hard to pinpoint where a lot of ideas come from, because it's kind of a long gestation period for me, and there's like multiple factors that play into the formation and development of an idea. And I don't know. I guess a lot of things stem from practices or habits that I've built for myself that are just like comforting, or just things that I respond to on a deep level. I like walking around a lot, and that's probably how a lot of the ideas for the work I've done in the past 5 years has started a lot of the time. Walking around, you have a real direct interface with space and with people and with the communities that are described by those two conditions. I would just start like walking around, the Howard campus, and Howard's campus is really integrated with the city. And you get a lot of information from just, observing your surroundings. And in addition, since cities are so dense with people, they're also really dense with material. And when I'd walk around, I'd just come across different materials that seemed so out of context, that they ended up being really striking a lot of times. So kind of my initial interest in everyday materials really stemmed from the materials that I'd find on out on my walks that would kind of stand out to me. And some of those materials, they're just like really everyday, kind of almost banal, mass-produced materials, be they paper bags or Band-Aids or plastic eating utensils. Those are the kind of things that once I started paying attention to, I found them permeating my thinking about my visual compositions, and I just start bringing them into my work and making these, constructing things out of other things that already have meaning, and trying to shift their context that way.
Mm-hmm. It's like an emergent, I find that you have a very emergent approach to sculpture and even the performance that you do, in that you take a lot of these really tiny elements, repeating elements, and then you just build them up until they start to take on a whole different meaning.
Kind of playing up that the mass-produced notion of a lot of the materials that I come across. And also, I think by using a kind of critical mass of these materials, they take on, this critical mass ends up abstracting the potency of the individual object. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, kind of abstraction becomes a device to abstraction of the material becomes a device to abstract the meaning of the actual object. And to sort of shift it through that strategy.
Shift it to a different meaning.
Yeah. And kind of, yeah, again, like complexifying the meaning of the original object.
I see. Cool. There's one particular project that that I think, I mean, we've been using a lot of the imagery from this project, Henry Brown Box. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think that project exemplifies a lot of the themes that we've been circling in terms of context and using these everyday things, and then you being in the environment of Howard University and the history there, and and all of that. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Sure. Henry Box Brown Forever was the name of this project that I completed in 2012. And it was a suite of three public performances where I ended up covering my entire body in the second skin of postage stamps, of like legal U.S. postage stamps. And walking through the streets of D.C. To a post office and asking to be mailed. And the name references Henry Box Brown, who was in a 19th century American slave, who was enslaved in my hometown, actually, Richmond, Virginia. And he sort of devised this absurd scheme to achieve his freedom by putting himself in a box, in an actual box, and sending himself through the mail to the free North. And I was kind of struck by the absurdity of the means to achieve. I was struck by one, the absurdity of the means to achieve a really basic end, and two, just on a basic level, his high level of self agency in transforming himself into a free being, and kind of taking that journey to become a free being.
He actually mailed himself and was a free man when he came out of the postal system and arrived at his point of destination.
He stayed in the box for 27 hours, and he was on ships and carts, and they shipped him to Philadelphia, and he came out, he emerged a free man. So it's like, you know, very, very real risks, you know, involved in that, but high reward, obviously. I mean, not even a reward, like high necessity. So I've always kind of had his story in my mind. It's not something I've ever really forgotten, and I was kind of, learned of his story when I was a very young. My school taught a story to us since he's from our hometown. Excuse me. And so kind of fast forward to about maybe two or three years ago, I'd started taking those everyday materials, like I mentioned earlier, and relating them or inquiring into how they relate to my body on a more direct level. Mm-hmm. And kind of the manifestation of that was this a series of performances where I created skins over myself of new things, of particularly stickers. So I had a series where I covered my entire body in bandages, and another performance where I covered my body in I voted stickers, which are handed out after U.S. elections. And kind of thinking in that framework, I came across stamps and immediately thought of Henry's journey to self-agency and kind of the absurdity of the visual form would take, in the same way that the absurdity of Henry's idea affected me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just kind of like a happened as a really organic confluence of all these factors. I also knew I wanted to do a public performance with this piece, because up to that point I'd been doing a lot of performances in the studio, and I wanted to, one, like, kind of test this new construction in space that's filled with non-art people, and people who are not familiar with traditional art devices of dealing with things such as agency and you know.
So what was the reception like? I mean, this, as you said, these people, if you're going out into the general public, you are going to be dealing with people with a diverse set of vocabularies and not necessarily having to do with general practices in art or visual mm-hmm. art. So what was the reception like walking through the street plastered in a second skin of stamps and I voted stickers?
Yeah. For this piece, Henry Box Brown Forever, I got the chance to walk through three different areas of DC. And kind of the areas that I walked through really described the communities that were there and described the communities' reactions that they had to the work. So on the first day, I covered myself in small denomination, like 4 cent, 5 cent, and 10 cent stamps, and walked through this area of DC called Woodley Park, which is primarily residential, pretty white collar. It's very, very quiet, you know. And the people there were kind of equally as reserved and standoffish in their reactions. There were people who'd kind of avert their eyes as they passed me. Generally reactions were really subdued and quiet. I had one person ask if I was protesting something or what I was protesting, which kind of struck me that my existence in this new skin was kind of a protest in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the second day, I walked through U Street, this area called U Street, up Georgia Avenue. Excuse me. And that area is around Howard University, and it's historically black. And I walked through the area in the middle of the day, so a lot of professionals were, like, downtown or away from the area. And the people who saw me walk through were, like, people who stay in the neighborhood. And reactions that day were a lot more animated, if you will, or a lot more expressive, almost. So, you know, I had people laugh. Had some people do the kind of alien Star Trek finger hand split. I don't know what you call that thing. Vulcan or whatever. I had a group of teenagers who got really, really invested in the piece, and they followed me for a really long time and wanted to see what happened and gave me all these compliments and stuff. And on this day, I also had someone who I guess got really kind of agitated by the circumstances of the piece, and started referring to me as her son and trying to protect me from these people who seem to be exploiting me or taking advantage of me. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, I mean, I wanted to test the piece against audiences who are not familiar with traditional art devices. And a lot of the responses that I got on this day were intensely honest and direct in a way that I hadn't really experienced before. So it was a really moving kind of day, and it made me realize that you know, it's hard to anticipate the reactions of people when you're working in public space. And then the third day, I walked through around like downtown DC, Pennsylvania Avenue, which is where a lot of the iconic DC architecture exists, like Congress and the Washington Monument. And so there were a lot of tourists around that day, and it was kind of like a spectacular reaction. Lots of people taking photos, and also a lot of people staying for a while and kind of observing. So I mean, again, it's kind of each space I walked through had its own distinct character of a reaction, character of interaction, that kind of described the public space, and I think on a larger level ended up describing the communities too.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about your residency project notes? We've been giving a little bit of background info or summarizing it for people who've been in contact and who've been in our network. Can you tell us a little bit about how you arrived at it and just the nature of the project, etc.?
Sure. So yeah, the project that I'll be working on is called Notes. It exists in two parts. One part is one part consists of creating an archive of found paper ephemera, of my personal collection of found paper ephemera, found walking in the streets of DC again, just like walking in the city. And I'm going to be focusing on party flyers. I guess it's like 5x7 or I don't know the measurement off the top, but kind of those miniature party flyers that people hand out, and discarded lottery tickets. And the party flyers are kind of one of those things that always existed in the spaces that I'd walk around in, but it took me a long time to notice them. But once I did, I kind of realized that they were full of kind of information describing the communities that the parties are for. And in addition, they'd also exist in really distinct geographic areas and not in others. So You know, it's the kind of thing where you can walk downtown and not see any party flyers anywhere. But like walking around Howard or something, you can see them.
Right.
So they kind of end up describing a community in a really distinct way. And for that reason, I think they're worth archiving for future examination and potential like comparative study.
Mm-hmm.
And
how
so
in the comparative study, is this something
I'm sorry?
How can you tell us a bit about the comparative study? Is
sure.
It like you're going to be comparing the party flyers that you've accumulated from DC with those that you accumulate in Kingston? Are you planning mm-hmm. doing that kind of cross-cultural comparison?
Yeah, absolutely. That's also, I guess, the other part of the first part of the project is that I'll get a chance to do like research, ambulatory research, walking around into how found paper ephemera or how paper ephemera is used in Jamaica and in public space like that. And sort of create my own archive or my own blog of the uses of that paper in Jamaica and comparing them to the ones that I've taken from DC and maybe looking for trends or similarities or devices that they both use and getting a chance to think about how that describes similarities and differences in those communities.
Mm-hmm.
At NLS I'll be collecting more paper ephemera and digitizing the collection that I have currently. And then the second part of that description is I'll be making relief sculptures out of the paper ephemera after I've digitized it and combining that with kind of another device of communication and public space that I've noticed walking around, which is the staple telephone pole. I think staple telephone poles kind of describe instances of people communicating with one another and kind of areas where that communication is effective. So again, it kind of takes on this like geographic history and geographic document, geographic quality. Developed a kind of abstraction of that staple telephone pole. That's my own flavor, I guess. And I'll be working to combine those staples with the paper ephemera, and hopefully make these kind of almost narrative relief tableau, describing communities and complexifying mm-hmm. Their meaning.
I've seen these some of the prototypes that we've also been circulating mm-hmm. of these relief sculptures. Where and I think one of the most notable things
mm-hmm.
is that the party flyers and the found paper ephemera,
mm-hmm.
these sort of narrative elements are embedded behind what looks like a curtain of mm-hmm. these implements that are used to actually that are generally used to tack them up on the telephone wire. And I thought mm-hmm. there's definitely something pretty eerie about them seeming to be trapped behind the, mm-hmm. the physical barrier of the staples.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of I hope that's another area where I can kind of work with contradictions. Because on one level, theoretically, the more staples you use, the more secure the message will be on the message board. So kind of covering this flyer with a sheet of staples is paradoxically like securing that flyer's place, and also again like obscuring the information, like you're saying, and kind of locking it in there.
Yeah.
Kind of throwing it into this weird liminal in between space, between functional and not functional, and recognizable and not recognizable, and that's kind of the space that I'm interested in. That's the space where I think a lot of interesting things happen.
Mm-hmm. So you're making it, as you said, super secure with all these staples, and even adding another element of beauty in the pattern that the staples create. But then, as I said, you're obscuring the details of and the actual meaning.
Hopefully, some parts will be recognizable and some parts won't be recognizable. You know,
it's, yeah.
Also, I'll get a chance to play with playing with obscuring and revealing things. So hopefully, I'll get the chance to craft out messages as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to remind anybody that's tuned in that you can send in questions to nlskingston@gmail.com. I'm constantly looking out and checking, so just send them in, and the question is too short to ask, so just let us know and we'll get to them by the end of the program. Wilmer, I just wanted to ask you one other question regarding the residency project. Mm-hmm. One other thing that I've noticed is that, I mean, when I first got to know your work, I knew it through your performance-based work. And so that's a lot of the stuff you've done in the past is performance-based. And while one could say performance art is a type of ephemeral sculpture, your residency project notes possesses a more enduring nature that anyone, including the layperson, would generally associate with sculpture, a more permanent, enduring nature. Mm-hmm. And even though it does have a performative element to it, in mm-hmm. that you're doing this repetitive action, mm-hmm. and also going out and finding these party flyers. Mm-hmm. But for notes, you're sort of doing the opposite. Instead of with your performance art where you take... where you make an ephemeral sculpture, with this situation, you are taking something that usually has no lasting significance, and you're making it into a significant and lasting piece of artwork. How did this development from your performance work occur? Is that something that you can chart or in any way?
Sure. So, I guess if we wanted. Think about it chronologically. I've been interested in sculpture for a longer amount of time than working in sculpture for a longer amount of time than I've been working in performance. So kind of like I was mentioning earlier, with all the objects that I collect, they'd manifest themselves in a really physical kind of sculptural way in my studio. And the performances were kind of like a recent iteration of a lot of those sculptural ideas, in that the sculpture was occurring on my body.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seemed like kind of a logical progression for me in that direction for some materials. In terms of like ephemerality and endurance, I guess that's this is kind of interesting. I guess that's where a lot of my photography practice might come in, because the way that I've used my photography practice to this point has been to in some kind of way like extend the form of a performance, or extend a moment into time. Mm-hmm. And I guess with notes, I'll be taking, like you said, an ephemeral object and extending it via another digital imaging process, which is like a scan, like a digital scan. And yeah, I guess it'll be manifesting itself in sculpture to begin with, but also work pretty improvisationally. So again, the way I've been thinking about it has been in sculpture, but I leave it open to performance if it feels right. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it develops quite organically.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I love having that freedom. You know, it's quite a liberating feeling to be able to respond like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you working on any other projects right now?
Well, I'm getting ready for a show when I come back, actually, like a month after I come back as well.
From
NLS. From NLS, yeah. It's a show I'll be having in D.C. at Connor Smith. Mm. And the title of the show is called Faust in the City. Mm. And I don't want to reveal too much yet, but it's a new performance project that I'll be doing with performance project and photographs that'll be making use of some new everyday objects. I'm excited about it.
Awesome. And yeah. You're heading to grad school. You mentioned to UPenn in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much right after you finish your residency as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's equally as exciting. I'm going to be studying with some very talented people and continue the momentum that I know I'll be building at NLS.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I guess that's one way you expect the two experiences to relate is to get some momentum going during the residency that then you can actually, that will continue through into the MFA program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also know that kind of having one, I guess being in a new environment for a set amount of time, and also having the time and the space really parse out ideas in an unbroken way. Are things that I've been really looking forward to at NLS, and I feel really fortunate to be provided by NLS in that way. And yeah, that's gonna. I know that will carry over into my grad school work, because that's the kind of focus that I want to be working with, and I'll need to be working with to match the pace, and the kind of intense study, you know. And also, I'm going to be writing a lot at NLS too, which is good.
Yeah. So it will be cool because we have some programming planned around your residency and the time that you're here to engage with audiences and the public. And for me, one of the most valuable things is also to engage with other artists in this current context in Kingston, in Jamaica.
Absolutely.
And especially younger artists. And I just think it'll be really interesting to see what those exchanges are like and in terms of practice. And as you were saying, you'll be doing a lot of writing, and there are mm-hmm. a lot of components to a studio practice. And mm-hmm. And just the exchange of that, I think, would be really valuable. Mm-hmm. We just got one question coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wrote in and asked, you talk about transferring your sculpture onto your body.
Mm-hmm.
how does the body, your body, operate in your work, and why did it seem natural for you to transfer the sculpture to your body?
Sure. So the question was how does the body function in my work?
You mentioned, how does it mm-hmm. function, how does it operate in your work, and mm-hmm. what, and why did it seem a natural progression to transfer the sculpture to your body?
Sure. I transferred it to my body, to begin with, because it was just the easiest body I had access to, mm-hmm. On a really basic level. So it kind of started off as thinking abstractly about, you know, an abstract body. But once a body exists in space, it has so many particularities and, again, like, so much localization and so much uniqueness that it's just totally rich in context, like I mentioned at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really rich in social context and you know, all these different contexts. So, I guess when I originally transferred the objects to my body, I transferred bandages first, which have a direct relationship to flesh and to healing flesh. And are really, I guess, thought of in the context of flesh. But with the, again, like, particularities of my own body, particularly my skin tone, and kind of the history of, like, the historical context of America and its racial relationships, mm-hmm. It, you know, it ends up loading the bandage with much different meaning than what's expected, or what it's thought of in the way it's thought of on a day to day basis.
And certainly, mm-hmm. Even with a performance like from my brown paper bag colored heart to yours, mm-hmm. again the particular context of the color of your skin,
mm-hmm.
and how it relates to your environment is a relevant part of that performance.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the idea is that I'm currently working through iterations of performances with other bodies, and I like to think that the ideas for my performance are not tied to my body particularly, mm-hmm. But can be applied to multiple bodies with multiple different contexts. But again, yeah, like it's impossible to avoid the localization and particularization of a body. So it's really liberating and freeing to kind of deal with that head on when you can. When you're
yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. We have another question that just came in. Mm-hmm. Will Wilmer be traveling around Jamaica and collecting paper from different parts of town?
That's a good question. I would love to. I think I definitely am probably going to be doing some traveling around Jamaica during my time there, and I'll definitely be paying attention to the state of ephemera and the places that I go.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, depending on you know, time frame and scheduling kind of things, I'll have time for more prolonged study in different areas. But Kingston will probably be my primary locale of study. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get a little bit into just some little nitty-gritties before I wrap up.
Sure.
You know, something that's particularly unique about your residency at NLS. Mm-hmm. Not only the project that you'll be conducting, not only that NLS is a new arts organization and does things substantially differently from the norm in its mm-hmm. context in Jamaica, but mm-hmm. also that we're funding your residency using Kickstarter.
Absolutely.
External funding using mm-hmm. Kickstarter. How do you feel about this?
How do I feel about the residency being funded by Kickstarter, or how do I feel about Kickstarter in general?
Kickstarter is an option for external source of funding.
I think it's really, really empowering, you know. It's been really amazing to see all the wellspring of support that's come up for this residency, for this project in particular. But also, I know it seems like the kind of thing that can empower an organization or an individual to do things without extensive institutional backing when it's not available, or like without an institutional infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I think it can be really empowering in those regards. It's really exciting to watch it manifest, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, I'm pumped.
It's probably really tricky to answer something in retrospect. But, you know, as we both know, we just met the minimum for our Kickstarter. So, congratulations.
You too. Congratulations.
Thanks.
It's going to be good.
Do you feel any differently about Kickstarter as a platform for funding? Can you recall feeling any differently about using Kickstarter as a platform for funding? You know, at the beginning, at the outset of the campaign, compared mm-hmm. to now knowing that the campaign has at least met its minimum.
Sure. I'm like a pretty, I don't want to say private, but like reserved person, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there have been times where I worry about, repeatedly kind of being in people's face about monetary things. Mm-hmm. But again, I think when the project is really good and the community is really good, you kind of don't have to, you know, it's not a matter of intimidation, really. It's like, it's more a matter of, again, genuine outreach and support.
It's
surpassed all my expectations in those regards.
Cool. Well, I'm going to take a minute to see if we had any questions that just came in.
Sure.
So far we haven't gotten any more, and cool. Yeah, it's been really great talking to you.
Yeah, you too. It's a pleasure. And I'm again really honored to be a part of this residency, and thank you for all your hard work and making NLS a real staple of dialogue.
Thanks. I guess it's a project of passion, I guess.
Yeah.
And just believing in art and believing in artists, and also believing in cross-cultural communication, and mm-hmm. knowing that artists have a lot to offer each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you to everybody who's tuned in. I see that we have quite a few people who've tuned in. Thanks for logging in. And until the next time. Take care, and Wilma will be in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye, Wilma. Have a good night.
Bye. You too.